if you will, look at Psalm 28:7. We're still handling God's strong and he's powerful, but he strengthens us. Let's read what David says about that in this psalm. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices and I praise him with my song." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. You're tougher on me than anybody in this room. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment than you have on anybody else, and I know that. And I accept my place, Lord, in rightfully dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see all of you all today. Thank you for being here. Look to the person to the right of you and say, they look absolutely beautiful. Will you do that? Some of you look to the left. I said to the right. Now look to the person to your left and tell them they look absolutely beautiful. Good. Yeah. There you go. Y'all, see, all I did was that, and y'all can't hush. Y'all are a chatty bunch, I'm going to tell you. It's good to see you. Thanks for being with us and gracing us with your presence today. When it comes to God being strong and powerful, we say that. But sometimes we don't believe that he gives that strength to us, and he does. In your life, and once you listen, I am a simple preacher. Don't dodge the need to call on him. We'll do that if we're not careful. You and I will get to thinking, well, there are much bigger problems in the world. I don't need to give him this little bitty thing in my life. When you hear and sense that you need to go to the Lord, I promise you it's the Lord beckoning you, calling you. The enemy is never going to tell you to take you what's going on in your life and take it to your Lord. He's never going to do that. Ever. He'll never do that. So when you sense that, and sometimes we dodge it. We dodge it because bigger things are happening. God's got more concerns than me. And we dodge it because we live our life so busy that we'll think about spending time with the Lord, a devotion, a prayer. You're feeling a movement to you to spend some time with him. But then we're going, our list is way too long, way too much. Man, if I do that with the Lord, it's only going to make everything longer in my day. And the truth of it is, if you and I will get here, that spending time with him will help all the rest of that to-do stuff. I'm telling you, I can sing the old song. He's proved it over and over, right? He's done it over and over again. Having time with him in your day is not going to make your day worse. And sometimes we think, I want to be with him. I sense I need to be with him, but I'm too busy. I'll carve it out before I go to bed. You'll try to do it before you go to bed and you're snoring, you know, before you finish. You're so tired. You get what I'm saying? Don't dodge the need to call on him. David, when he writes the Psalms, he's crying out to the Lord. If you read chapter 28 this week, I hope you do. It's not that long. But the first half of it is a prayer of help. God, Lord, give me help, deliver me. And the second prayer is, the second half is God has helped him, and he is responding to the help that God has given him. Many times in a counseling session, I will end it with the person that we're trying to help praying. And I will say, all you need to do is pray a prayer of thanks and thank the Lord for what you think he's done for you today. And just that simple prayer, it's a prayer of thanks for his help. So let's walk into Psalm 28:7, and let's look at the first part of it, of 28:7, where David is talking about how strong the Lord is. He says, "The Lord is my strength." We've been here a lot in this little bit of focus that we're having on God being strong and him giving you the strength that you need. And it's all a repeat. He's my rock. He's my fortress. And the reason David writes it and other people do too with these word pictures in mind is that the rock that God is, the strength that God is he can't be moved. There's nothing that can move him. He is so great and he is so strong. Scripture will say our God is already established and he's unmovable. The second one is the Lord is my shield. He's my defense. He's my protection. He's my hiding place. He's where I go. You have to ask the question, where do I go when things are going crazy in my life? When I'm overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And it's stuff we know, and then it's all the variables that happen in our life. Where do I go when that's happening? That's why I'm saying don't dodge the need to call on him. Don't dodge that. Calling on the Lord is a sign of strength, not weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. It is a sign of wisdom that I am surrendering my life to him and asking for him to be able to help me. In this psalm right here, when we finish this, the Lord is my strength and my shield, we're going to be switching from the Lord's strength to the Lord strengthening David. And then the picture here is, what's the result? Look what David says. He said, my heart trusts in him. I am helped. And the way he wrote I am helped means he's helped me once, and he's helping me again. This is not the first time he's helped him. He's helped me more than one time. My heart becomes happy, and my heart rejoices, and my heart celebrates because I know that he's helped me. And folks, listen, this is common sense, okay? If you don't ask him for help, then how are you going to know that he's helped you and you're going to give him credit? You see what I'm saying? It builds the confidence that you need to have in the Lord. My heart trusts in him. I'm helped. I'm helped again. And then my heart is happy. My heart rejoices. My heart celebrates. I want to get into the heart trusting and being helped, and even to the really want to hone in today on just the fact of being happy. Proverbs 3:5. We usually include verse 6. We're just going to do verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Folks, we're not trusting something. We're not trusting something. We're trusting someone. And the someone we trust is the anointed Son of God. He's the anointed someone. And David says back in Psalm 28:7, he said, my heart trusts in him. Switch back to Proverbs 3:5. I trust in the Lord and I don't rely on my own understanding. I say this a lot to married couples because a man's language is totally different from a woman's language. And I use this a lot because it's true. So men, I'm going to throw us under the bus, okay? And women, I'm expecting an amen or at least an attaboy, okay, from you. But I teach men, I said, let's say your wife and her friends, her girlfriends, her lady friends, they're in a circle and they're just really conversing and talking. And I said, you're standing outside the circle and you're listening to everything that they're saying. And a buddy of yours comes up and says, well, what are you doing? Well, the ladies are here talking, and he goes, well, what are they talking about? And so the husband says, well, they're talking about this, this, and this. And all the women hear him say that and turn around and go, no, we're not. We weren't talking about that at all. We think we have an understanding, don't we? Guys, we think we've got it figured out. That happens to me a lot. And in that, here's what I want to say to you, and I want to use that because Scripture says, don't rely on your own understanding. A lot of us think we know what God is up to. He's always at work. He has revealed himself to us as Father. He's revealed to himself to us as the Son, of whom we get salvation. We can't get to the Father without going to the Son. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Son, who then draws us to the Father. You got the picture. But we're going, well, this is what God is doing throughout the world. You know, even now, we're going, God's doing this, 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 and this. And God may say to you, no, I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. Billy Graham wrote a long time ago, if you could actually see everything that God is doing, you wouldn't believe it. And let me show you from Scripture what I mean by this. I'm going to rely on you to help me. The Lord said, my thoughts are not, and my ways are not, they're higher than you. Higher than you. You're going to go, well, man, I've got God figured out. This is what he's doing in Russia and Ukraine. This is what he's doing in Israel. This is how you're putting all the pieces together. And you may be able to say it, and the Lord goes, no, I'm not. But he is working. He's always at work. And he will reveal to us certain things about what he is doing. But when he does that, he's inviting us to join him in that. He's inviting us to join him in that effort. And he'll reveal enough to us to ask us to join him in that work. But we just got to understand his ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts. But he will ask us to join him at points of revelation into our life and include us. But we still, no matter what we know or we don't know, we trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in the anointed Son of God. And David said, my heart trusts him. He's helped me. Go back to Proverbs 28:7. He's helped me. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. And it really means I'm helped again. And then my heart is happy because of that. The Lord claimed David. The Lord revealed to David. The Lord assured David. And I say this to people all the time. I want to bring this back up again. When you and Jesus are out of line, are y'all listening? When you and Jesus are out of line, everything's out of line. I mean, it's the point of order. When you and Jesus are out of line, everything's out of line. Look at Colossians 1:18. In Colossians 1:18, it says that he, the Lord Jesus, is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place, preeminence, first place in everything. Let me remind you, I'll bring it up a lot, let me remind you, if you say that God is second place in my life, you are saying he has no place in your life. If you say, well, I've got Jesus as the top five of my life, means he is no place in your life. He's either first place, finish it, church, or he's in no place. First place in absolutely everything. And when you and Jesus are out of line, everything else is out of line. Of all the relationships in your life, the seasons of your life, the one with Christ is the one that you have to work on the most. And you and I will dodge that time. We will dodge it. We'll have great intentions of getting to it, but we will dodge it. And we'll let our schedules overwhelm us and overrun us. And I want you to be able to say with David, I cried to the Lord. The Lord helped me. He's helped me again. And my heart trusts him. And my heart is going to celebrate in what he is able to be able to do. We've used the word trust as a word in our church here this year in 2024. We place our trust in him. He's not only helped me once, he's helped me twice, ... He continues to be able to help me. So I want to talk about being happy for a moment, okay? He says, my heart rejoices, means my heart celebrates and my heart is happy and joyful. And man, we search for this. We search for this point of happiness throughout all of our life. We just become happy for maybe little fleeting moments. Even our Declaration of Independence says that you and I as citizens have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's even a movie entitled The Pursuit of Happiness. Bobby McFerrin wrote a song, and you and I can start the whistle intro to this song and the finger snap. Don't worry, Be happy. It's talking about minimalizing your life. And I'm not against that. I think life ought to be more simple than what most of us are living it. I'm for it. I'm going to, a lot of times, people of my age want to try to impress the younger generation and try to understand their times. And I totally fail at that. But I think some of the younger generation need to learn some of our old times. So there was a comedian back in the 60s, which I would have been about 8 or 9 years old. I was born in 1960, so 68, 69. And there was a comedian that started out on the Smothers Brothers. Do you all remember the Smothers Brothers? Their comedy is really unbelievable. They were pretty outspoken for the 60s. And they got canceled after a bit of time. They got thrown off the air. But they had a young comic writer that started out with the Smothers Brothers. His name was Steve Martin. You all remember, he's the banjo playing comedian today. Steve Martin started out with the Smothers Brothers. In fact, some of his very first TV appearances were on his doing his comedy routine. If you all don't know who he is, you're in younger generation, you know, look him up. But he's the wild and crazy guy, you know. Do you remember? Hopefully. But I remember in his comedy routine, he would go all of a sudden into this random dance and just call it Happy Feet. Do you remember that? He'd just break out, and he'd just be dancing all over the stage, knocking over guitars and mics and everything, and goes, I can't control myself. I've got happy feet, you know, and he's just going crazy with his happy feet. There's this search in all of our life to be happy. I tell young married couples, I said, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I said, your spouse is not going to make you happy. Not going to make you happy. And you're going, well, you're saying that, and Julie's in the room. Well, I'm not going to make Julie happy. We can disappoint each other. I can disappoint you as a pastor. Let's don't leave it there. You can disappoint me as a church member. It goes both ways. We're in this great search for happiness. And I love Julie. I would lay my life down for Julie. And people have asked me, have y'all ever fought? I said, are you kidding? I said, she's the one to throw me down a flight of stairs. I said, but it doesn't mean she doesn't love me. It just means she's mad at me. It doesn't mean we're out of love. People come to me, we're falling out of love. Well, you're not, probably not true, but we just become mad at each other. And what happens is David says, I go to the Lord. The Lord helps me. The Lord helps me again. And the Lord, my heart will trust him, and my heart celebrates. Because I'm able to find my happiness in the Lord. Now, I know you're going to expect me to say that because I'm a preacher. But I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. We chase people to make us happy who can't deliver our happiness. We go after things that we think can make us happy, but they can't deliver it. We go after places that make us happy. Now, I believe in places of solace and rest, but it's places that we think are going to bring us happiness, and you can't deliver it. We go for titles and power to our name, thinking that's going to bring us happiness, and it can't deliver it. We go to platforms of influence thinking that's going to make me happy, but it can't. It doesn't deliver. Remember, we read Nehemiah not too long ago, and Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord, the happiness of the Lord has become my strength. And you're going, I don't understand this, preacher. How can it be that my happiness is going to come in the Lord? I'm going to tell you how. Glad you asked that question. If you notice in this psalm that how he uses the pronoun my, the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusts in him, my heart rejoices, and I'm able to sing my song. Do you see that personal? And that's going to be very important at the end of the sermon, that it's personal with him. what one reason I can be happy and I don't need anything else to make me happy is because everything I need for this life and the life that is to come can only come from God. It can't come from Julie. It can't come from you. It can't come from anybody else. I can say my happiness is Him because God has me. I belong to Him, and He belongs to me. I love you, but I don't need you. I need Him. I need Him. I don't look for you for happiness. I can get a gift card from you one Sunday, and you'll be voting me out the next. Do y'all know what I'm saying? It's not based on that. It's based on who I am in the Lord. Look at John 10, verse 27 and 30, talking about the Lord having us. And we're referring to Him being the good shepherd. If you go back to chapter 28, Psalm 28, you go to verse 9, it talks about Him being the shepherd. So I'm going here with this, verse 27, John 10. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord says. I know them. And they follow me. Well, some of us have done that. Some of us maybe haven't. I give them eternal life, He says. They will never perish. That makes me happy. Right? You have nothing to do with eternal life. Only He does. And when I surrender my life to Him, He gave me eternal life. I won't get eternal life when I die. I will get eternal life when I first believed and surrendered to Him. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That makes me happy. It says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Do you understand that? Greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And the Father and I are one, the Lord says. So one reason I'm happy is because I know that God has me in this life, and He has me in the life that is to come. It is settled. It is established. I am His, and He is mine. So my heart becomes happy. The question that some of us may have is, can anybody snatch us out of the grip of the Lord? Well, His word says nobody can. But the real question we need to ask is, am I in His grip? For if I'm in His grip, then nobody can snatch Him away. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. I can say that because God has that in my life. He has me. For all of us who have surrendered, He has us. It's established, and it is true. Then He says in verse 7, Psalm 28:7, He said, I give praise, and I praise Him with my song. We're going to have fun with this. And we know that psalms are songs. They're hymns that David wrote and sang. And sometimes other choral directors put them together as well. But it's all about singing and music and all. So I went through this and I go, I will praise Him with my song. I got to thinking, what is my song? What song depicts my trust in the Lord and my walk with the Lord, my faith in the Lord? And then I was like, well, I wonder what Julie's song is. And I know her pretty well. So I wrote it down. Then I asked her. I got close. I got close. I thought it'd be my tribute. You know, how can I say thanks for all the things that you have done for me? And she sang it a lot, and she loves that song. But Julie said, she said, my favorite song would be about my life is He Keeps Me Singing. You remember that hymn? Yeah. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to give you some of the words to it. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. End of all life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Look at this line. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. I knew her dad's. Julie sang it at his funeral back in May. And it's, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. And that was Papaw. That was Papaw. We could be at Papaw. We went to the state tournament every year he could. I mean, like 60 some times, you know, for all those years. We're going through his stuff. We've got the books that are there. Thank you. We got those programs, and he's got on there, and we're going through stuff that's been written to him, and I'm talking about Clay County here for a moment. A guy named James Phillips, he's sitting near us at the state tournament. Papaw won him to Christ and came to know the Lord, and James every year would write, call Papaw, "Is this Papaw?" So we sing that. His song is, "I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian." My song is, "I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus and houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today." There's more. Maybe our song should be, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." I'm glad I brought this up, because I want you to look at Philippians 4:4-8 for just a moment. Philippians 4:4-8 handles anxiety. And I'm not going to say many of you all, I'm going to say many of us can deal with anxiety. And what's coming out in clinical counseling and Christian counseling is that negative thoughts and positive thoughts can't occupy the same space in your mind. It can't happen at the same time. Like my life of playing baseball, I went and I would visualize one of my people that I love was Rod Carew. He won many, many batting titles. And what he would do before every game is he would get to his locker, open up the door, and he'd put one foot on one side of the locker and one foot on the other and just look into the darkness of his locker. And he's a leadoff hitter, so he would bat 4 or 5 times a game. And he would visualize every time that he batted hitting the ball. He never visualized striking out. It was always a visualization of making contact with the ball. And I guarantee you that happened with every Olympian that you saw. That they were, and some may have been anxious, meaning they were thinking negatively about what's going to happen. But I promise you, most of them were doing visualization of reaching that height or that speed or throwing that distance or whatever it is that they did. You see what I'm saying? So all counseling is leaning now to positive and negative thoughts can't occupy the same space. And so to teach to think positively. And so one way to think positively is to give thanks. The teaching today is, if you lean toward thankfulness, then it will push out anxiety. Because anxiety and thankfulness can't occupy the same spot of your brain. And I got to thinking about that, looking about this, and I just want you to see how I think this comes out in truth in Scripture. Look at verse 4. This is Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And in the middle of the word rejoice is the word joy, happy. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again." He's helped me and he's helped me again, right? "Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone." And they need that. We don't just give it to people who are gracious to us. "Let it be known to everyone." I love this next line. "The Lord is near. He beckons us. Don't dodge being with him. The Lord is near." Don't worry. The word worry there is anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer, petition, See that word? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Go to Him. Don't dodge it. Small things, go to Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in and through Christ Jesus. That's where we want to get to. Look at verse 8. Finally, think on these things, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. You see how those are good things, positive things? Commendable. If there's any moral excellence, if there's any praise, dwell on these things. Because Scripture is saying, if I'm thankful, then I'm not worried about who I'm not. I'm not worried about what I don't have. Are you with me? That the thankfulness that we have, a heart of gratitude, can push away anxiety. I would never tell anybody to get rid of their medication, but I'm a preacher. So I am going to tell you, start including the Lord. Start including the Lord in this, and that thankfulness is positive. Anxiety is negative, and if we start having a grateful heart, in fact, Paul writes, he wrote it there, but he continues to write, be overflowing with thanksgiving. If you have a gratitude for what you have, you won't necessarily be desiring more and uneasy about it. Because we think that things make us, bring us value. We think that status we reach brings us value. The greatest value ever bestowed upon you is that Jesus left heaven to come down here and die for you. I mean, there's no greater value in all of your life. So maybe our song can be, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and see what God has been able to do in your life. While I was writing this sermon, I was on the deck of our house. It's a covered deck. And it was cool morning. It was yesterday morning. It was cool. It felt great. If you're a big boy, you love mornings like this. You know, we love these mornings. I was drinking my coffee. I was finalizing all this. And right above a gutter, right outside our deck, there's a robin. It has a nest up on the top part of the gutter underneath the soffit. And she's feeding her babies. Our granddaughters were there yesterday. And I was showing our oldest, Charlotte, that they can't see, you know, their eyes aren't open. But they're used to hearing their mother's little feet hit the gutter, you know, that little tinkly sound. And they know that that means they're going to get fed. So I was showing Charlotte, I said, Charlotte, watch this. I took my fingernails and I hit the gutter and they're just like, you know, wanting to eat. I've only done that twice, even though it was a lot of fun. It's kind of like a jack-a-box, you know, and then boom, here they come. So I've only done it twice, and one time by myself, and then one time showing Charlotte. So I didn't annoy them, but I was like, man, that mama bird, she sure is busy. I mean, she leaves there, and she flies to the bird Costco and gets a worm. You know, comes back, she lands on our fence, and then she flies up and feeds them, and there she's just back and forth. And I said, man, she's just really busy. Mouths to feed, food to get. I got to thinking about all of us. Man, we're busy. We got a lot. Our to-do lists are really long. We work hard to check them off, only to find out we get halfway down the list, and the list has been added to. We got valleys. All of us have got a valley. All of us. Andrew, my son, and I were at Somerset Thursday. A childhood friend of mine from Campbellsville, his daughter, their daughter, died of cancer, colon cancer, age 37, three little boys. She has a great husband, loves the Lord. The whole family, she loved the Lord. Her name's Raina. She loved the Lord. And she suffered for a long time, number of years. And I was there. It's a valley. It's tough. It's just tough. We have mountains. Lord's helped us. Guess what? He's helped us again. He's helped us again. We've got seasons of our life. I know you could even say, well, preacher, I don't know what my favorite song is, and I want to give you a challenge this week. Try to find out what your song would be. Do that as part of your homework, your devotion. What song represents my faith and my walk with Christ? Which one is it? And see if you can discover it. And then you'll come back to me and go, well, I've got different songs at different seasons. I understand that. But if you were to get one song that just talked about you and your walk with the Lord, your faith in Him, I wonder which one it would be. So I'm watching this bird back and forth, and you know, the Holy Spirit can fall on you in just all kinds of little ways. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, sometimes he gets me in a headlock. I don't know what he does with the rest of you, but and then there's those times where you're not seeing it coming, you're not sensing it, it just falls on you. And so I'm watching that bird. I hear her little nails, can I say it that way, on the gutter. And those birds are fired up, you know. And the Holy Spirit gave me a song. You may know where I'm going. His eye is on the sparrow. Let me just give you one little line out of that. Because this is about, there's a lot of big things going on in the world. But you're a big thing to Him. Don't dodge time with Him. Realize that when you go to Him, you're only, he'll help with the rest of the list. He's not going to make it weird for you, crazy for you. He'll help you with it. And so when I got to watching that bird and I got to this song, His Eyes on the Sparrow, just listen to these few little lines. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Me? He watches me? Watches us? Yes. Yes. Me too. Us too. He watches us. And I go back to the psalmist. He's my strength. He's my shield. My heart trusts in Him. My heart celebrates. My heart sings a song of praise. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let the Lord is not only strong and mighty, but He strengthens us. And we need Him. We need Him. Know that when you go to Him, it is a sign of strength, not weakness. When you go to Him, it is a sign of wisdom. And it's a point of surrender to Him. And I pray this week you nail down your song, you know. I can sing. I sing because I'm happy. I got to be honest with you. There's a part of me that I channeled Steve Martin a little bit, and I got to going happy feet all over, you know, all over the deck. Thank God it's sturdy. You know, because there's nothing in this world that's going to really make us happy. Would you all just agree with that? And we're chasing it. Tell you, the only person who can make us happy is the Lord, is because I am His and He is mine, and it is settled. It is settled. It is settled in this world, and it's settled in the world to be able to come. Amen? Yes, thank you for being here today. Listen, some of you thought, well, the preacher forgot his prayer early on. No, I didn't. I forgot to use the word program. But I didn't forget our prayer. I want you to bow with me, okay? I want you to begin by telling the Father that you love Him today. Will you do that? From your heart to His. I love you, Lord. And then, here we go. Let's be thankful. His grace, His mercy, His salvation, His sacrifice, what He's revealed to us, how He gives us the next steps of leading us through. Thanks. give us thanks. You take a moment and spend some time there and just say thank you. Let your heart sing. And as we give thanks, as pushing away anxiety, they can't occupy the same spot. Let our hearts be overflowing with thanksgiving. There's other people to pray for that overlap in your life. Some of them are sick. Physically, disease and sickness in their body. Some of them in need of great Christian relationships. Some of them need spiritual direction. Some are carrying emotional loads. Some are in a financial strain and a bind. Would you take a moment and lift these people up by name to our Heavenly Father? Pray for them. Some are in need of salvation. Pray for the nations always. Let's pray for the war, Russia and Ukraine, and you know, out of sight, out of mind. We can forget about it. They certainly haven't. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what's happening in Israel and to Israel and around other nations. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to pray for Haiti, the unrest there, the gang violence. Other countries are bringing in law enforcement to bring order. And we're grateful to hear that. Many displaced children, orphanages. They became orphans during the earthquakes. Their parents were killed, had nowhere to go. Human trafficking came in, if you don't know that, promised them food and shelter, and then moved them into human trafficking throughout all the world. So orphanages, Christian orphanages, started coming in to take care of the kids. Pray for peace in Haiti, movements of God. We're thankful for the Christian witness that's happening during the Olympics. Some of you are seeing it. There's Bible studies being held in Olympic Village. Some are winning their events and acknowledging no one but Christ. We're thankful for the witness of the gospel of Christ there. Pray for it. It continues. Pray for our nation that our hearts would turn back to Him again. It would belong to Him. Would you pray for those who are sitting around you? Pray a blessing over them. Pray for your family, no matter where they may be. Pray a blessing over them. We pray over our offering that we brought today, a financial offering. It's just a portion of us. And we thank you for that. We ask God's blessing on that. But you brought a greater offering today than your money. You brought you. We surrender. We lay down our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for Him. Use us, Lord. Use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord. You've helped us, and you've helped us again. And our heart celebrates, and it trusts you. Our faith and trust is in you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? The team's going to get ready and lead you at a time of invitation. Counselors, come find your spot if you will. You may want to come see them. They'll pray for you and with you. You may want to bypass them and just bring your burdens here to the Lord. You may just want to come and say thanks for who he is and all that he has done. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. The team leads us. You respond.